Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Back here on the Alex Dono Show. And I love how you troll Omar with this song. I hope he doesn't hang out. You know, wow, okay. Tito doesn't know the story. What a coincidence. So Tito Benash producing tonight. So you just happened to play This Is How We Do It. Is that right?
It's Friday.
You don't know the backstory. Omar Kelly is on a crusade against this song. He thinks it's the most overplayed, overrated song. I just thought you were trolling him. Wow. It's fantastic. I hope Omar doesn't hang up on me. We go out now to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar, can you forgive us for this grave sin?
No, Tito and I are now arch enemies.
I just can't believe the coincidence.
There's no way this is a coincidence. I have been on a crusade against this song for, 3 years now? If I go out, and I am going out tonight, Brick House is going to be live. If I go out and I don't hear that song on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, whatever night, I view that night as a success. And Tito has just ruined it for me.
I'm sorry. Your entire weekend is now ruined. And real quick, Omar, it's about to be turn up time for you after this interview. What are you drinking tonight?
I have not begun drinking, but I think it's going to be Tito's coconut. 1800 Tito's coconut. It is the smoothest smoothest tequila in my mind. It mixes well with anything, and it makes a great Coco Loso.
Omar Kelly.
Pineapple juice and Tito's.
Okay, see, I'm not a big coconut guy, but I know you're big into that with like the coconut tequila. I can't really co-sign on that, but I guess I respect it.
Oh, see, we've got to go hang out, and I got to get you a shot. It's a smooth shooting drink as well.
Right.
It's the best. And Tito, what I've learned as I aged is that alcohol is a depressant, so it makes me sleepy. And as I've aged, it's gotten worse. So if I want to stay up while I'm at the club, I got to drink tequila.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel with us. Omar,
tequila is the only stimulant of alcohol.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you know any other stimulants, please share because I need to diversify my drinking.
No, only like when people mix Red Bull with drinks and stuff, like they try to balance it out with something else, but I don't know of any other like pure alcohol that is a stimulant. But I'm sure we'll have like 10 examples on the text line.
They're important, and if I'm not listening, just text them to me, Alex.
I will. So, Omar, what do you make of Matt Dar being released? I was a little bit surprised by that. I understand that it's an economic move. Hack and getting rid of Dar, but did he really get beaten out?
That's not fair to say it's an economic move. Matt Dar actually got beaten out by Matt Hack. If you look at every number that's important, distance, net average, hang time, Matt Hack beat him out. And, you know, this is what happens then. You know, how did Matt Dar get his job? He beat out Brandon Fields, a Pro Bowler. These things happen. That's why they chart practice. Now, it does, the factor of finances does make an impact because, you know, he's $150,000 less. While $150,000 means nothing to Steve Ross, I mean, literally, he might be carrying that in his car at the moment. It's important that Matt Hack is signed for the next 3 years, whereas Matt Dar was going to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season and probably was going to cost more to re-sign.
You know, I know, Omar, the ship has already sailed on this one. It happened very quickly yesterday I believe it was on Wednesday with Joe Hayden signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But how serious were the Dolphins for those several hours in their pursuit of Hayden?
I think they were interested. I don't know if they were serious or big money bidders. But if Joe Hayden wanted to sign a lease with Miami to come down here and live in South Beach and play for a season in a reclamation season, they would have certainly been interested. You know, he ultimately signed for a one-year, $7 million deal. Don't let anything else fool you.
Yeah.
Which was a little bit more than I would have offered. And, you know, after I looked at his film, I got to the point where I concluded, basically, between Byron Maxwell and Altron Werner, Joe Hayden, I can't guarantee you that Joe Hayden was any better than either one of them. Mm. There were clear deficiencies in his game. And not to say that he's not going to be a good player or not going to be a good starter, but I wasn't interested in paying him big money to come play down here. And then on top of that, you know, I think a lot of the media members and my peers overlooked the fact that Cordray Tankersley, while he might be green and young, showed a lot of promise in the preseason. While he was not a great practice performer, when it came game time, the kid showed up. And sometimes players are just like that. And so he's one of the young players that I'm actually intrigued and want to see to get developed, because ultimately he presents there's no future with Byron Maxwell, because he's really going to be cut at the end of the season. Altron Werner's on a one-year deal. Only if he balls out does he come back. So you could be setting yourself up for the future if you put Cordero Tankersley on the field and have him really blossom.
Now, on Byron Maxwell and Altron Werner, is there a real competition there for what we thought was going to be Maxwell's starting spot? Is he in danger of losing that? What do you think happens week one?
I think Maxwell is going to get the benefit of the doubt to be the starter in week one. But I think that there's going to be a rotation in terms of Werner's going to get an opportunity to play. And it wouldn't surprise me if they play a three-man rotation. I think that's wise. I think having a cornerback out there running routes for, you know, 60 snaps a game is not exactly a great recipe for success. And so having three enter a rotation, that would be ideal for the Dolphins. And it'll allow, you know, allow you to get a look at some of the other guys.
We talked about Dar, but do any of these other cuts from today surprise you? Julius Wormsley, Nick Williams from the D-line, Avery Young from the offensive line, where were all those expected?
Yeah, they're all expected. Dar, I even predicted, I had my 53-man projection done before we got the word on Matt Dar. That was an easy decision for me as well. Nothing has surprised me so far. I thought Nick Williams had a chance of being like one of the final guys on the roster, but when I watched him play against Minnesota, I was just like, nah. So, and Julius Wormsley, you know, great story from last year where he made the roster as one of those journeymen that came out of nowhere, but he never really got any opportunity this year because of the young players, the rookies. This is what happens in the NFL. So I think he can still play. It wouldn't surprise me if he surfaced somewhere in the NFL. I just know that, you know, it wasn't the right fit for him here.
Omar, who else is on the bubble, and do you think there could be anybody cut by the deadline tomorrow that would surprise fans?
The one that could surprise fans is Ray Mauluga.
Wow.
I'm sure he's probably not going to be cut, but if you're going to be in a penny-pinching situation and you want to prevent yourself from guaranteeing him $900,000 and take it on a game-by-game basis, you could cut him now, have him still down here continuing to work out on his own, and then bring him back week two and be paying him week. When what people have to understand is if you're a vested veteran, which means you have more than 4 years of NFL experience and you're on a roster for week one, your contract is fully guaranteed no matter what you're making. So all these guys who are, you know, the age veterans, that's why you're going to see a lot of veterans cut today. Victor Cruz cut today and tomorrow. Guys who are the back end of the roster, who are probably player number 44 to 53, they're going to be unemployed for week one and then re-signed to their team or to a new team in week two. This is one of the most disgusting things about the NFL that people don't talk about, people don't have a conversation about, people don't have an education about. The NFL really is very disrespectful to the middle class and the aged veterans. It's all about, you know, investing in the young players who are cheap and expendable,
right?
And then paying the 16%, the high rent district players that you sign in free agency, and then the players like Nick Williams, not that that's the reason why he was cut, but the veteran players who are hanging on to the NFL, you know, they've got the odds stacked against them and really have to do a week-to-week situation after week one is over.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joining us here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Omar, the fourth running back spot, do you feel good about that for Storm Johnson or Sonoris Perry? Can he steal that?
You know, that's going to be an interesting decision because Sonoris Perry's injured, and if the Dolphins waive him, they'll probably have to give him an injury settlement. So I think what they could do is they could probably carry Sonoris Perry on the 53 until he's healed, which is probably going to take about 3 weeks. And then once he's healed, they can waive him and put him back on the practice squad. Hmm. Another gangster move that these NFL teams make. Storm Johnson can be on the practice squad. No problem. No harm, no foul. Nobody's going to claim Storm Johnson, so you don't have to worry about that. Just listen to Adam Gase. There was a lot of talk about claiming a veteran back. Not a super veteran back, but a guy with less than 4 years of experience, so you can take it on a week-to-week basis. They don't have enough at running back. That's one of the spots they probably need a little depth at, but they need that player that they add is going to have to be able to contribute significantly on special teams.
Tight ends, Omar, how do you feel heading into this season with Julius Thomas, who's been a little spotty throughout camp in the preseason? You think he's going to step up in a big way? What about Fasano and Marquise Gray?
I'm not sure if Julius Thomas is going to step up in a big way. I've been very critical of him during OTAs and training camp just because he looks like a guy who's lost a step and isn't really going to be that impactful. But the coaches talk him up so much about how important he is to the office in terms of helping them identify matchups. My biggest thing is how many touchdowns is he going to score? Is he going to improve your red zone efficiency? The big play player, I don't see that anymore. I haven't seen that all since April. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to be a baller, but I'm not too concerned about the tight end position because I have a lot of respect for Anthony Fasano. I think he's a hell of a player. He's the same player that you knew when he left here. And one of the most pleasant surprises for me is Marquise Gray. Mm-hmm. I think he's ready to become an NFL starter. He's a playmaker. He's got a lot of talent, and he's showcased that so far.
Omar, Jakeem Grant really jumped off the page yesterday. Mm. 4 catches, 141 yards. Even beyond what we've all seen in the preseason games, mm-hmm. What have you seen from Jakeem in practice? Do you think he's turning a corner?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely turned a corner. And, you know, you guys in the media, you guys always give me a hard time about Jakeem because I am ultra critical of him. When he was sucking, you know, I was telling you he was sucking, and he didn't look like he belonged in the NFL. He couldn't catch the ball, couldn't catch punts. Really didn't have any confidence in himself, and he became the team mascot. Everybody cheered for Jakeem Grant. When he caught a ball, they'd be like, "Oh, Jakeem caught a ball! Jakeem caught a ball!" And it got so annoying to me that I was like, if that was anybody else other than a guy who was 5'5", 160 pounds, like he would have been tossed to the side a long time ago. But Jakeem really showed what happens when you have patience and continue to inject confidence in a young player whose confidence had been rattled. They really bigged him up, so much so, even when he was struggling early in camp, you know, they would never criticize Jakeem Grant. Like, it wasn't going to happen because they knew that there's an ultra-talented player in there. And man, did that kid shut me up last night. I mean, really, he's played well all exhibition season. Like, I was surprised at how well he played, and anybody who tells you that they weren't surprised at how well he played is a liar. He's coincidentally, he really, remember his first, I don't know if you were out there for that day, but his turnaround really happened on the day Jay Cutler got
yep.
there.
Yeah, I was there the first day when Cutler practiced.
Yeah, I mean, he went from practicing like poop to actually just like, hey, this kid's got skills and ability. And I could tell you, I never saw that last year. I did not see any skills and ability. So, you know, he is really, really, really taken off. And I wouldn't be comfortable drawing up plays for him and taking plays away from Stills or Parker or Landry or Julius Thomas or Jay Ajayi or Drake. you know, those are the players I'm trying to get the ball in their hands. But if one of those receivers went down, I would definitely be comfortable playing Jakeem Grant.
Do they carry five receivers, or is there a chance a sixth guy might make it?
Nah, no six. I don't even think there's a guy who's worthy of being the sixth.
Yeah.
Drew Morgan, unless you're fearing that the Patriots will claim him, I think he'll easily sneak onto the practice squad. I mean, he hasn't done anything all training camp. And that's the only one that I would really consider seriously keeping. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if he was on the 53-man roster just because, you know, he's the only guy who's been trained how to play the slot position. So you kind of need that. That's important. But I wouldn't fear a team claiming him. He might initially stay on the 53, but eventually get moved to the practice squad.
Omar, real quick, with Jarvis Landry, we got the update yesterday that the NFL is still looking into the domestic violence claim. I've asked you this a few times over the last couple of months. Should we be concerned about this?
I don't think you should, from this reason. There's very little the evidence that needs to go into creating an arrest. They were out on the scene. They had a professional athlete. And trust me, they're not doing professional athletes any favors. And there was no arrest made. State attorney's office has had all the evidence that the NFL has had, have not put out a warrant for his arrest, have not put out any sort of, you know, it's just an incident report. Especially when you're the girlfriend or baby mother, whichever you'd like to call her, it has come out and said that nothing happened. This is not, you know, this was not an incident. Yes, we're having a custody issue, but we don't have any tension or beef, and there was not any assault. It's not much to make a case of. And let's keep in mind that that not only have the police and state attorneys had all of this information since April, but the NFL has also had it since April. So if there's nothing that has come from it, from April till now, why would there be anything? Just how I look at it. I've covered athletics and professional sports. This isn't college. Nobody's going to do these players a favor. And in fact, a lot of police officers look at arresting athletes as trophies. So it's not going to sit here and just linger out there. If he was supposed to be arrested and didn't get arrested, those officers who didn't arrest him would have been punished by now. So, I have a hard time believing there's anything there.
I always appreciate your time. Omar Kelly covers the Miami Dolphins for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar, thank you so much, man. Enjoy your weekend, and then pretty soon we'll be covering games that count.
Yeah, man. Always looking forward to it, Donna.
And by the way, people keep telling me to tell you to drink 4 Loko, the malt beverage that's like super caffeinated. I thought that was illegal, though. Is that still on the market, 4 Loko? Okay, Tito is the one who played the song that you hate, so I don't know if we can trust him.
Don't drink it.
He says don't drink it. Stay away from that, Omar.
All right, cool.
Enjoy your weekend.
Appreciate it. All right, you too. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.